This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Among the evergreens, the stood alone cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ring in a bell. Go, go.
You know who was the most active television media member in the sports market in St. Louis tweeting last night? It wasn't you or me.
Doug Vaughn.
Yes.
Doug Vaughn was going nuts.
He was.
Now, we just joke that Doug's just sort of this angry old white guy, but I think on Twitter last night, he was just an angry old
St. Louis
guy. He had a
blue joke about the halftime show.
Is that right?
He said something that...
Oh, something bottomless next year?
He's going to perform bottomless next year.
Yeah, was Doug at work, or was Doug just hammered and tweeting? He kind of had a Trumpian run where he was just locked in a room with his phone. No, Doug was on fire last night.
Was he on television?
I don't know. I didn't even stay tuned. I should have because the promo was appealing.
What was it?
And Channel 4 has always been good at promos. I'm not sure if you
that
can
was a
back
at their actual content.
Well, no, I don't know that they could back this up. But during the game or early in the pregame, I don't know when it was, but it was very few local ads. That's because CBS, you know, has got to make all their money back. But it said, could St. Louis be hosting football again? The Chiefs, one step closer to coming to St. Louis. I'm like, what? And it's a great promo because it should pull you in, and then I forgot to watch later. Did anybody see the actual piece?
I didn't see the
Now, there
promo.
Was one Congress or council member in Kansas City, remember a month or so ago, said, why don't we just play a game every year in St. Louis? And the Chiefs are like, no, we're good, thanks. We got Arrowhead. It's pretty popular over here. It was one Kansas City council person that said that. And I'm assuming that that's what they were playing off of. I don't know. Does anybody foresee the Kansas City Chiefs playing some games in St. Louis anytime soon?
That's exactly what the piece here is on CamelV.com.
And I'm not picking on Channel 4, and because Doug Vaughn had a big night.
Sounds like you're picking on
But
them.
The promo sounded great. I just had a feeling it couldn't live up to
a
the
member
hype.
Of the Kansas City Council proposed a team play one game a year in St. Louis as opposed to an international venue. News 4 reached out to the Chiefs.
Ted Cruz.
Who said they don't have an official position on the proposal.
Oh, okay, good.
That was the big scoop.
So that was the story.
They asked the Chiefs and they went, eh.
So what
we
you
don't
do
know.
Then is you go on the street and you go up to some people, especially if they're walking by the dome. Hey, you want to see football come back? I don't know why.
They're wearing a uniform.
Would
a
you
jersey.
Like to see the Chiefs play? Oh, that would be kind of fun. That'd be good. Now you got the makings of a piece.
Let me ask you this. Not that it would be our news directors, because our news directors care about content.
Thank you.
Wow, there
but
we go.
But do you think if you asked the average news director, what would you rather have? A really teasable story with not much meat to it, or a story that doesn't have much tease appeal that's got great content?
I think almost all of them would take the teasable story.
Yeah.
I mean, they want the teasable story.
It's a real shot against news directors there.
Well, no, I think that's the...
not yours, of course.
Not ours, but I think it's the state of the business.
Of course, neither of you guys would propose a story that had no
Correct.
Teeth either. So this
Correct.
Is this is a moot point.
Coming up later, Martin and Frank have some stuff. We'll see after the game. But it'll be good. You had a great piece on Rammer and Earl. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. You know how many people, you know how many classes I've been to, just tease classes? I mean, these, you know, the technical people that come in, and you sit there for 3 hours and you learn how to write tease.
And you don't say coming up next. You know what's interesting is we recently did something on tease writing also, and it you don't want to always say coming up next. So I've taken that out of a lot of my sports teases. I've taken that phrase out. But about 50% of the time, whatever news anchor, and it's not any one person, but they will still say, and next in sports, even though I didn't write it. So I want to file a report. Hey, look, I stopped doing that. But they're just so trained in their head. And it's possible we're overthinking it a little bit. That if you say next in sports, oh, I'm changing the channel. I kind of do want to know what's next.
We heard the exact same thing at our thing just a month ago. Don't say coming up next. Yeah, they said the time is so precious. You have to use those words to tease what's actually happening.
Ooh, time is precious.
I don't know. We got 11 hours of news. I think we got a little time to play with. I think there's some room in there for...
So basically what it comes down to is if you watch local news and someone does say coming up next, that's just them saying we got nothing.
Correct.
Slow day. We're trying to kill time.
Like today, I'm just going to say, when Mandy reads at 5:48, instead of saying Martin's next, anything like that, I'll just have her say, will the Chiefs be playing in St. Louis? And then they just fade to a commercial.
Fade to black, like The Sopranos. And cut to black. And that will keep the listeners intrigued.
And then when they come back, I won't reference it at all.
Next on sports, black.
One food question, and since we've all been there, we can all answer this. My name is Kurt. Myself and my best friend, Mike, knocking out one of our bucket list items, 57 years old. We're heading to Cardinal spring training for 4 days in the middle of March. We don't make broadcaster money. Who are you kidding, buddy? But could you give a list of your favorite restaurants around Jupiter? Now, I want to give one which is like 200 yards from the actual field, Jumbi Bay Island Grill.
That's one of mine. It's
the Mali Trio Salad, where you have grouper that's grilled, scallops and shrimp with an incredible house dressing. Jumbi Bay, J-U-M-B-Y, Bay Island Grill.
So we're part of that Roger Dean complex there. You're saying where you can walk over there. The great thing about all those restaurants, even if some, the one's just kind of sports bar-ish.
Yeah, but JJ Muggs. I mean, that's one that is, I mean, he doesn't have that quote-unquote sports anchor bank account. That's reasonably priced, great food that you're pretty common with. And they do have some of your seafood items.
Well, they all have a dolphin sandwich, which you cannot get your typical lunch in St. Louis if you want to enjoy a little
and
dolphin
that salad
sandwich.
Is $12. It's a lot of seafood for like $12. Yes. It's really good. There's another one called Carmine's Coal Fire Pizza, which is a favorite of Tom Stasiak, and it's aptly named, and it is really good.
You and Klaibs have been known to dine at Limoncello.
Yes.
Limoncello. Is that
that's
in Jupiter?
Pricey.
Didn't Klaibs reference that at the end of the interview?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the Limoncello, the actual after-dinner drink, too, boy, it's good stuff.
Who pays for
Frank's
that?
Mapping
KMOX
out
or KSDK?
Frank, will you be doing a Flaherty sit-down? Are you thinking about doing an Anteal piece? No. Limoncello. Over the years, there's a lot of places called Grill. You know, there's a lot of grills. I can't remember. The one that we all ate at all the time was Abbey Road.
Oh, yeah, that was the commission's spot.
The commission would hang out there, and he would make sure that the Billiken game was on the big screen. It was sort of a St. Louis media hangout. Sadly, it went under.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
No longer with us. God
all
bless.
All of the money that we expensed wasn't enough to keep it rolling. All right, let's do this. Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, couple of bonus you are Jeff Fisher. Did you watch? Were you happy?
Yes, I was. Yeah. There's, you know, look, I'd like my guys, but I don't want to look like, you know, the boob that couldn't do anything with a franchise and they win a Super Bowl as soon as I get the heck out of town. Definitely. I don't want my ex-wife, you know, marrying, you know, George Clooney, and I don't want my ex-team winning the Super Bowl.
You are Kurt Warner. Any part of you kind of happy that Jared Goff didn't get what you got as the Rams quarterback?
I'm Kurt, and I'm really gracious, and I've been working with him for a while, and I'd like to see the Rams.
Now, if you or I were Kurt Warner, 100%, we'd be like, well, kid, it's not that easy, is it?
But that was the difference. You know, 17 years ago when Brady beat the Rams, he beat Kurt Warner. This time, all he had to do was beat Jared Goff.
All right, you are Bill Belichick. Any part of you that says, yeah, it's always about Tom Brady. It's about time. It's about me. A little bit of Bill thinking that way?
I don't know about that. But it definitely puts...
We would be thinking.
Yeah. It definitely... It is his Super Bowl. It's he and Edelman. But it's more the defense than anything. I haven't really thought about it that way, but it is more Belichick than Brady.
Because it's always about Tom Brady and the heroics, and he did lead a fourth quarter touchdown drive at the big pass to Gronkowski. But for the most part, it was a defensive showcase. Or maybe just bad coaching by McVay. He did say in the postgame, I got out-coached.
Yeah, he took all the blame, like three times.
Very likable guy. I'm not exactly sure. Well, going into it, I said, I'll take Bill Belichick versus McVay. That's what I thought. I mean, I also thought it would be a lot higher scoring. All right, Frank, let's see here.
Does that count as number one?
That was number one.
Oh, wow.
That was lap five. Okay, true or false, the St. Louis MVP was Terry Crouppen. Did you see his spot?
Yeah.
You're not a fan. Because he left during the anthem or something? Yeah. What was it?
It was just a funny anecdote I had of Terry Crouppen. I'm just not a big fan of...
Lawyers?
Lawyers?
Well,
but
those kind of lawyers.
You don't like injury lawyers.
I'm not a big fan of ambulance chasers.
But he spent probably $50,000 on that just for one commercial.
How long was his commercial? 30
seconds?
I think
it was a 30-second. And it just basically, under the arch, the banner rolled down and said, "Stand still, stand."
It's just weird because he's done it before. It's like, why are you just repeating a trick?
Well, the first year he did it was the first year they were gone.
Yes.
I think this year you do it because the Rams are in it and Stan sort of featured. Which, by the way, there was a piece, and it was really in-depth. I think it was the Columbia Missourian, and somebody retweeted the tweet about it. And I read it very in-depth, but it sort of profiles Stan's whole story. Talks about how he was just this former busboy.
Oh, stop it.
And I kind of wanted to go, married a Walton?
Married a billionaire. That's not a rise from the ashes, pulled himself up by the bootstraps kind of story.
Borrowed
a little bit
of money to open this one place. It does sound like as a young person he was industrious and hardworking. But I kept reading it and going, married a Walton.
You don't need to
marry a Walton.
Romanticize his story. He married into, and God bless him for that. That's a great business decision. But marrying into wealth is not a success story.
All right, Frank, your choice for halftime. Is there a perfect choice? Frank would probably go Motown. Just celebrate the oldies. And
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right. I don't think there's an obvious.
I'd be so out of touch with this one.
Well, Travis Scott, wasn't he on the Rams? He was like the worst draft pick they ever had, which was saying something. That's the only thing I could think of when they said Travis Scott is here and he's dating.
The offensive lineman?
Yeah, remember he was terrible for Arizona State. And it's one of the reasons Mike Martz accosted Steve Cordy because he thought it was Jeff Gordon. Started screaming at him and it actually was the wrong journalist because they'd been mocking the Travis Scott pick who got the Arizona State scholarship. I don't think there's an obvious pick. I mean, the Katy Perrys of the world are good because they're big pop stars, Beyonce. We're never going to be in touch at our age, I think, with the current music. They just seem
was
like they
Maroon
try
Maroon 5
so hard.
That bad, though?
Yeah. But I don't like Maroon 5 in general. So I'm not sure there was one that could have been good. I just think it just needs to be someone fun. I don't think Maroon 5 is fun.
Like Bruno Mars is perfect.
Yes, Bruno Mars, Justin Timberlake, Beyonce. They're fun. They do these, you know, these elaborate shows, and it does make the time pass by fast. Like, next year it's in Miami. Pitbull would be perfect for a Super Bowl halftime show in Miami. He's just a fun guy.
See, what's
Maroon 5 is
Come
boring.
Come on, Pitbull.
Oh, don't be
is
old.
That really mainstream?
Oh, yeah. Very really? Mainstream. Oh,
isn't
yeah.
he kind of a tool?
Sure. Look, the musician wants... isn't.
All right, you're young, Plowsy. What do you have on Pitbull,
you're old.
Please?
I brought this up this morning, although I put a poll out on Facebook and it's positive. I would scratch musical acts. I think they only surround a certain sect of people who like Maroon 5. Everybody else is bored or like to complain on social media. Do circus acts. Do a Ringling Brothers. I'm serious. You bring, you know, guys on, you know, elephants doing tricks. You got trapeze artists shooting guys from cannons from, you know, end zone to end zone through the uprights. You have tigers and unicycle bears. And I think that is entertaining for a higher percentage of people than a Maroon 5.
Red, I think Chris Gardner wants Red Panda to do the same.
I got to say, Red Panda.
Wouldn't that be a great
pretty Panda. Riveting. I got to say, I think they've overthought it. If you went Red Panda, would anybody at home turn off the TV?
Think how so basic it would look, though. You have a huge football team. Just have one.
No, you have 5,000 little kids jumping around. Red Panda is really stunning.
Yes.
The performance will hold your attention, I think.
Something
I'm
different.
I'm not against that.
Something different.
The controversy surrounding Gladys Knight, if there is one, Tuna was talking about how some people didn't like it because she was not a fan of Colin Kaepernick. But if it's Gladys Knight and it's the Super Bowl national anthem and it's in your hometown of Atlanta and you are one of the greatest stars in the history of your profession... I don't know. When did Gladys Knight become controversial?
I didn't know that. So they were mad that she was selected? Not her performance, but that she was chosen. She don't even bring the Pips out anymore. That had to be a bet in Vegas, didn't it? Whether the Pips would be with her?
The length of her anthem, too. I don't know.
She went over. That was the big play was, did she go over? By the way, Jim Gray, I was in the car at halftime. I don't think the game was on locally. I was in my wife's car, and she has the Sirius XM, and I'm flipping around trying to find the game.
Okay, well, KMOX aired the Cardinal World
Correct.
Series, Game 6.
And 101, I swear it was like
Are you serious?
Unless there's multiple 101s on there, it was some kind of ESPN programming.
Huh.
Now, maybe, because sometimes on the HD you can get multiple channels.
Yes.
Maybe I had it wrong. I'd be surprised. Anyway, so I'm flipping all over, and it's Jim Gray at halftime with Larry Fitzgerald, and they're trying to break down the game, but there's clearly an obligation to also carry the halftime show. So Jim Gray's like, all right, back here, and Larry, your thoughts on the offense? Well, they got to... Now let's take a listen in. It's moves like Jagger. And then he would come back and they would talk a little more about the game. And then he's like, okay, sugar. I mean, he was like a DJ, and it just was tremendously awkward.
Right, somebody said the game was on 101, Martin.
Okay. Well, I must have been, was not in my own car. It must be that the HD, like, gets multiple. This happens.
The back YT. Door.
This is the wife's car.
What YT, are you driving, man?
HD Jeez. Radio.
You know what? This is driving. Driving one of those Audis from the commercial, I bet. Goodness.
Pinball Wizard. This is a good... You know what? This morning, I flipped around. Morning after was in a break, and I'm flipping all over.
Sure.
And on 101, it was Trey Wingo and Golic. So there must be multiple channels.
I do have an HD radio. I don't listen to 101 HD, but that could have been the case.
Because I was looking all over for that silly game. I'm like, where is it?
That silly game.
Then I got Jim
Martin
Gray.
Martin had his 8 TV monitors.
Do we know, speaking of 101, if Randy lived up to his promise of just... not watching or listening the whole time. He was driving his daughter.
He told
back
me he was
to
taking. Yeah, I'd asked him last week if he wanted to do any kind of TV, only if the Rams lost, just kind of hate on Stan. And he said, "I'll be driving my daughter back to Bradley."
Oh, well, that's a good reason not to watch.
Text him right now to confirm that. I want to know these people who said I will not watch, I won't do it, if they actually watch.
I will say it was an easy Super Bowl to keep that promise because it never got good.
Because you never...
Yes.
Nobody could text you and say, you're missing this.
Right. Oh, my God, it's a 20-point comeback. It was just
still
boring.
Close, though, to the end. That's the only redeeming quality.
So, true or false, this would be number four. I've lost track. Frank, this was the perfect Super Bowl scenario if you dislike Kroenke and the Rams franchise. Could there have been a better scenario? They lost.
Yeah, no.
They looked
bad.
They were boring.
Yeah, I would have liked a blowout.
No, blowouts can be entertaining, though, because New England would have done something cool. This game was so forgettable that no one will ever care to remember it.
Isn't it one of the worst Super Bowls in recent memory?
Yes.
Well, recent, because they've been good lately.
They used to be terrible. They were always blowouts.
Yeah, everyone when we were growing up, just horrible. I mean, just terrible blowouts. So I would have liked to have seen a 48-0 game, but I'll settle for them looking terrible and losing.
I mean, it did nothing to sort of inspire their tepid fan base. In fact, there were tons of stories about how the New England fans took over the building. And that's the franchise that goes to the Super Bowl like every other year. And the fan base that's been waiting for 20 years to get their team back and is filled with, 20 million people? And they can't get anybody to show up at the game? Isn't that unbelievable? The fan base that goes every year that should be sick of going to the Super Bowl dominates in terms of turnout. And you're talking about a marketplace with nearly 20 million people. It was the perfect scenario and the greatest show on turf. We can tap the brakes on that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Ricky Prohl still has the last Rams.
I texted him that. He said, LOL. He was at the game, and I said, it's going around that you are still the last Ram to score a Super Bowl touchdown.
That was the lowest point total for a winning team in the Super Bowl.
And the biggest margin of victory the Patriots have ever had. The Rams, they set the record. First seven possessions resulted in a punt that had never happened before in a Super Bowl.
Well, one of them was the longest punt ever, Martin.
I feel like Joe Roderick may have set the tone when he asked Hecker the other night, are you kind of missing Jeff Fisher? And that's sort of a Fisher game there. Hecker was prominent.
And such a Jeff Fisher game.
The only other time a Super Bowl team didn't score a touchdown. It only happened one other time. It was the Dolphins in 71. That's kind of a sad stat,
That's
too.
That's amazing.
It is bad.
I didn't realize only one other time did a Super Bowl team not score a touchdown.
Oh. The Jets, by the way, Boomer Esiason called that the 69 Super Bowl, the best Super Bowl ever. That was a 16-7 game.
Yeah, it's not the greatest
No
ever.
Way.
Former Jet, Boomer Esiason.
That's right.
All right, last one here. When Bruce didn't get in, your first thought was, Ty Law? Isn't that what you thought? Like Gonzalez, you knew was getting in. Ed Reed, you knew. You thought maybe Champ Bailey. But Ty Law, who...
Kevin Mowey.
Yeah, I guess.
I think you could definitely make a case for Isaac Bruce being better at his job than Ty Law better at his.
Yes. And it's amazing how many people... And all I said was it's too bad. Classy guy, whatever. And then somebody, hey, you don't get into the Hall of Fame for being a classy. You have to have number. It's not a charity case. My point is, on top of all of that... You got a guy who was classy, had great character. I know that doesn't count in pro sports, especially in football. I had this guy going back and forth, and I find just I did what Charlie said. I muted him because I couldn't take it anymore.
Charlie, it's really tuned us on to
it's great because this guy just
makes
kept
you wonder
going.
If he's muted us.
He's like, nobody cares about care. I'm like, that's not what we're talking about. The guy had 1,000 receptions, and every football metric, he's one of the top receivers all time.
Like, Ricky Prohl's a classy guy. No one's screaming and using that as a reason why he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So on the same weekend, Bruce doesn't get in. Now we're being told Edelman's a Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Yeah. With his 5,000 receiving yards. Stop he's only 10,000 behind Isaac. I mean, he's close.
Close.
In a pass-happy league, he's still 10,000 behind Isaac.
God bless him, but he's good for about 8 or 9 yards per catch.
Yes.
And Isaac Bruce has a higher per-catch average than Jerry Rice.
How about this, too? Why can't the Patriots, of all those guys that are 6'2", 200 pounds, that run 4'4", 440, there's probably a bunch of those guys out there. How come they can't get one to be like a wideout and go deep? It's unbelievable.
Like they have to dink and dunk. It's like a requirement.
Is there not one guy? Do they just have to have all white wide receivers?
Yes.
God. I think there's sort of an unwritten rule. All right, now that they did what we needed them to do to beat the Rams, the Patriots need to go away.
We hate
them. I'm back. Now I'm done with them. All right? You did your job. Now get out.
Yeah.
All right, 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
There's one. There's quite a few good texts here. Let's take a timeout. We're going to read some of these when we come back. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we have the Winning Streak text lines at 855-282-8255. We have the Maryville University listener line at 855-282-8255. Still waiting to find out if Randy actually watched that game. But before we go to break, quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. If you're looking for a car, there's no other place to look than the Bomarito Automotive family. They sell the most cars in the state of Missouri, and they've done that for 11 straight years. We're talking over 30,000 cars sold, 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. Go to bomarito.com for more information. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.